Happy Mother's Day. And what a blessing to be in the house of the Lord every day. And just like the song we sang, with every breath that He gives us, we want to turn it around and give Him glory. Thank you. Come, Holy Spirit, I need you. Come, sweet Spirit, I pray. Come with thy strength and thy power. Come in thy own gentle way. Reign in me, sovereign Lord, reign in me. Reign in me, sovereign Lord, reign in me. Captivate my heart. Let your kingdom come. Establish there your throne. Let your will be done. Reign in me, sovereign Lord. Reign in me. Lord, we come to you today. We need you more than anything. We need your word to come right now to touch every part of every heart that is here today, Lord. We need you. We need you above everything else. You reign above the heavens. You reign above all over the universe, Lord. We can't understand, we can't comprehend, but we believe it. We trust you. Let your word go forth today and establish all that you've sent it to do. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. And that is a song my dad taught us years ago, and he was at Victory too when he taught it to us. And I just love that song because it says, establish your throne in our hearts. You know, and today it's Mother's Day, yes. And Terry's not here, not because he didn't want me to preach. I wanted to make sure that. But we were invited also to preach at Spanish Church. And this morning even he was saying, why don't you go to Spanish Church and I'll go to the American Church. And I was like, okay, don't make me any more nervous than I am. So anyway, I'm just thankful that he's behind me, he has supported me, he has sent me forth, and even in this last trip that I went on, it was just an amazing trip. I went to Israel, and it was a desire of my heart, and it amazes me that you take your desires to the Lord on your knees, no one else hears it, and then he gives it. And one of the amazing things is he entrusted me, the Lord, with 21 sheep, and one of them is here, I think. But I had 21 people to lead, not just myself to the trip, but it made me realize that, yes, we are moms. Yes, the Lord has given me 2 children, and I thank Jennifer for making me a mom and Benjamin for making me a mom. And I thank my mom. She's listening. She's watching from California. We prayed together today. And my mom for putting so much into me, and we pass it on to our children and our grandchildren, but so much more. We pray that the Lord enlarges our ministry, and some of us, like my aunt, I told her she's a mother today because she was entrusted with so many children, so many years in the school she served in, and putting in God's word, music, and singing, and things that we have been entrusted. So the sheep that the Lord entrusted me to take to Israel with, I became like a mom. And sometimes, yes, I had to correct them. And somebody from the group looked at me, and we had a lot of Armenians there. And if you know Armenians, they just love to have fun. And I'm one of them. And one of my American friends was saying, you know, all these Armenians. And I said, hey, I'm one of them. So I'm an Armenian, of course, at heart, but I'm also an American, and I'm so proud of that. But I just know that they wanted to have fun, and a few times they were like, we were trying to go this way, and I was saying, okay, everybody, just follow, because we need to do so many things today. And they would go into the stores because they were thinking, I might miss this, I might miss that. And one of my Armenian friends looked at me and said, in Armenian, these are not sheep. These are goats. So the Lord entrusted me with them, and I'm so thankful. But if you have been on trips like that, you know, I come home, and I'm so excited to be home, and I get out of my suitcase, and I put everything away, and I say, oh, I'm home. And then in a few days, I'm like, okay, Lord, where next? And so I was doing that a few days ago, and I was getting ready to speak at the chapel on Tuesday at the school, Victory Academy, and I looked down on my Bible, and the pages had turned to chapter 8 of Luke, and it said, "Now go home to your house and tell all that God has done for you." So I said, "Okay, Lord, I know you're speaking to me, and I need to be home." And I just want to tell you that it was a wonderful trip, and it was amazing. And one of the things that I'm going to speak about is sometimes you're so worried about so many other things, you miss what's right there that the Lord has to do for you. I almost missed it because I was so busy with everyone, and I love being on Mount of Olives. There's nothing like being on Mount of Olives, looking at Jerusalem and saying, "Lord, you spent so many nights here looking over Jerusalem, praying over them, crying over them, wanting to go do ministry, loving them." But he spent a lot of time in Galilee. And that is one of my favorite places in the whole world. And when we were at Galilee, we were there 3 nights. Every night I was busy with dinner, with people. And when I would walk to my room, it was wonderful. I would have such wonderful times with the Lord talking to him. But I could see the Sea of Galilee. We went on the Sea of Galilee on a ship. And we had, I did a devotion on, we stopped the boat right in the middle. And thank the Lord, there were no storms while we were there. But we had a wonderful time. But I missed something that only the last morning I had time. And I said, "I'm just going to take, you know, my, just go by myself without telling anyone to the shore of Galilee where Jesus spent so much time." And I had such a wonderful time with the Lord that I almost told one of the guides that was helping us, "Take the group to Jerusalem. I'm staying here." Because I just loved being on the shores of Galilee. And I almost missed it. I said, "Lord, I should have come here morning and night, every time I had the opportunity, just to hear the waters coming over the shore." And it's just a beautiful place. Of course, you know, wherever you are with the Lord will be a beautiful place. But I want to go into a part of a section in Luke chapter 10 that a few times that I've been invited to speak at ladies' conferences, if I mention that, "Hey, maybe I'll speak about M&M, and I'm going to tell you what I mean, Mary and Martha, they would say, "We've heard a lot of messages on Mary and Martha." And I know a lot of you are going to say, "Oh, Mary and Martha." But I want to go there today because I want to say being a Mary and Martha in today's world. A friend of mine just mentioned this yesterday. She said, "I need to give you a book." And it's called How to Be a Mary in a Martha's World. And I was thinking that and I thought, no, because we are not just Mary. Some of us, I know some friends of mine that I can say are Marys. But most of us, if I ask you right now, you would say, "I'm also a Martha." Or you would say, "I am only a Martha, but there is a Mary, that's so important." But I believe that to be truthful today, we can say, yeah, we're Marys at times, but we're also Marthas. I have found that for my life. So we're going to go to the story of Mary and Martha. And I saw something just even this morning. The Lord is so amazing. Because when we were on Mount Carmel, where it's Elijah's cave, there's still a cave there. And you go there and you remember Elijah was hiding in a cave. And the Lord said, "What are you doing here, Elijah?" But he thought the Lord was going to be in the earthquake. He thought the Lord was going to be in the whirlwind. But where was the Lord? In a still, small voice. And we miss that. We are looking, "Oh, I want to see something miraculous so I can see the Lord. I want to see, you know, I want to go somewhere where this is happening and that is happening. He is still in the still small voice. And that is why he says, be still and know. As moms, as women, it is very hard to be still. And that is what I am preaching to myself as well. Do not think that I have arrived, because I am not one that, you know, it's very hard for me to be still. And the Lord has to just still me. He puts me places where I have to be still. And I mean, I can tell you stories after stories. And just from this last month, just because I had problems getting into Israel with my passport, because it had a lot of Lebanon posts on it, Lebanon stamps on it. And I thought, I have an American passport. For sure, that's not going to matter. Well, it mattered. Six of my group went through, and they were like in 3-4 minutes. And this young girl took my passport. She said, why do you go to Lebanon so often? And I said, I take God's word. And she said, and she asked me something else. And then she said, your passport has been sent to another office. And I was like, what? And she said, your passport has been sent. So I didn't know what she meant, because how could she send it? But then I saw her get out and take it. She lied to me. I thought, there must be something. She put it in and it went to another office. She took it. Another person took her place. They took me to another office and another office. Anyways, there were times where I stood there. I had to be still and cry on the name of the Lord. And I said, Lord, Daddy's not here. Terry's not here. No one is here to help me but you. And I'm just crying out to you. And how the Lord brings you through. But you need to know the secret place. You need to know what Mary had found the secret. And this is where we're going to go. We are going to go to Mary and Martha's story. And it's chapter 10 in Luke. And verse 38. And then it came. Let's go to 38. Okay. Well, I have my word here. And then they came to a certain village. And it's Bethany. We know that. It's very close to Mount of Olives, very close to Jerusalem. And Jesus used to go there a lot. And a certain woman named Martha received him into her house. You have to find out that it's Martha's house Jesus is in. No wonder she was busy preparing, because she was responsible. She had Jesus in her house. So don't say, oh, Martha, Martha. Jesus can say that. But we try to say, oh, you know, she was this way and that way. But what it was she was, yes, busy because it was her house. And then she had a sister, and her name was Mary. Now, this is the part where I've never seen this morning until this morning in a new way. It said, who also sat at Jesus' feet, we know that, and heard his word. She was not just sitting there, but she was hearing what Jesus was saying. Definitely, Martha was not hearing God's word, because she was busy preparing the food. And I know that because in our home, when I was growing up, my dad would travel, and I've told this story before, I believe that. And whenever he would come back, we would be so excited, five of us kids. But we didn't have time with our dad by ourselves, because we had missionaries. We had orphanage. We had school. We had people working in our mission that would come to the house to welcome him. And so there would be a house full. Daddy would be there. But my mom would be in the kitchen. And some would help her. But she wanted her daughter to be there. And I know I'm telling a mom. But she would come to the door and she would call my name, Hasmeet. And I would hear her, but I wouldn't turn, because I was sitting by my dad, And it was like, okay, daddy's home. I'm just going to sit here. And I could hear her again, Hasmik. And then somebody would say, your mom's calling you. And I would say, no. And but daddy was there, and I would try to get away. But I had to get up and go. But there are times where we miss it. We miss the opportunity because there are things that the Lord is speaking, but we are so busy with other things. So this is what happened. Mary was sitting there, and Martha was distracted with much serving. Not just serving, much serving. She approached him and said, who goes to the guest? I mean, like, she must have tried so many times to call Mary to help her. And Mary was totally ignoring Martha's voice. And she says, Lord, do you not care? I want to stop right there because this reminds me of the disciples on the boat. When they were in a storm and Jesus was sleeping, they woke him up and they said, don't you care? Now go back before that story. Jesus has just fed the 5,000. He has just fed 5,000 men, yes, and more. And yet they come to him and they say, don't you care that we are perishing? And here Martha goes to Jesus and says, don't you care that my sister has left me to serve alone? And I know that, you know, sometimes it's the enemy speaking to us. The enemy speaks so much louder. Sometimes we don't hear the voice of Jesus. And the place to be is the closest to him to hear his voice. Because the more farther you get from the Lord, he said, my sheep stay close to me. And so today, I want to speak to every woman that's in this place. I know as moms, as women that we've been entrusted so much, we always want the best for others. There was nothing wrong with Martha wanting the best. Jesus had come to her house. She wanted the best for him. We're always looking out for others. And it's not going to be selfishness right now to say, what is the best for you? What is the best for you? You might want the best for others, but there's a better way that Jesus has shown that's going to be for us. And I'm not talking about physical things. Yes, you might want the best for a day away. You take the break, you go, you do. But here, not only does she say that, she says, tell her to help me. Not only is she distracted, but she wants someone else with her distracted, away from the Lord. And that was when Jesus looked at her and said, Martha, Martha. She wanted the Lord to speak to her sister, but Jesus speaks to her and says, Martha, Martha, you are worried and troubled about many things. I want you to put your name right there. Go ahead and say it. I'm going to say Hasmik, Hasmik, or Jasmine, Jasmine. And you go ahead and say your name right there. Because if I can just go around here and just say, okay, tell me, are you worried about things? I believe that everyone is going to say, yeah, I am. Because it's important. These are things that have been on my mind. These are things about my family, my children, my sister, my mom, my friend, my neighbor. So many things. And it says, Jesus said, put your name there and say, Hasmik, Hasmik. You are worried about many things. And then the next sentence Jesus said, and he says, but one thing is needful. One thing. one thing is needful. He's saying, yeah, you are worried about so many things because he must have known. He must have heard all the dishes, you know, noises in the kitchen and all that was going on. And he's thinking, you know, it doesn't, I mean, only bread and cheese would be enough. And what is she doing in there? And I mean, a lot of you know that there can be a lot of dishes dirtied in just a few minutes when you're making something. But it says, Jesus said, one thing is needful. And Mary has chosen it. The next one is, and Mary has chosen it. And that, whatever Mary had chosen. What had Mary chosen? Mary chose to not miss the guest that came to her house, their house. She must have been living there, but it was important because she didn't know how long Jesus could be there. Jesus was so busy, but he went to their house a lot, and I love that. He was very familiar with them because he loved Lazarus, their brother. And but Jesus says, whatever Mary has chosen shall not be taken away. So today I've come to remind you, I'm going to make a very short message because I know everybody has plans probably to go out and eat and be with your families. But I just wanted you to not miss that when you have the opportunity to sit with the Word. That is why Benjamin ran off these, but I had written these about a year ago. I needed to put some verses down that I just love getting into God's Word. And these are some of my favorite verses. And I just wanted to have it run off so you can keep it in your Bibles or you can put it somewhere where when you have opportunities during the day to just be you and the Lord, choose the better. Choose the better. I can't wait to get up in the morning and be in the chair where I believe I meet with the Lord. Years ago, when the kids were little, Jennifer and Benjamin, in the mornings, of course, we were blessed. We lived next to the school. They didn't have to get up that early. But the last thing we would do is get on the sofa, get in the Word. We would sing a song. We would read the Word. And I'm going to mention it again, but I started reading to Jennifer when she was 1 month old, the Word of God, and marked it. By the end of the whole book, the whole Bible, we finished it when Jennifer was 16 and a half and Benjamin was 15 years old, reading every day. Every day. We would even take the Bible with us when we would go to other parts of the world. But after a while, I decided, you know, this is too precious. I don't want to lose this Bible anywhere because we had markings that Jennifer would mark and Benjamin would mark and we would date it. And we read until we got to Job. And that's when they were still in, I would say, third and fourth grade. And I thought, this is too depressing. In the mornings for a third grader and a fourth grader to read. So we left the Old Testament and we went to the New Testament. Then we came back when they were a little older and we finished it together. And it was just an incredible thing. And in fact, when we were flooding and I was picking up stuff and we were bringing it up to second story of Children's Church, Benjamin had been through our house and he brought the Bible. He said, Mom, you left this on the table. And I had been so distraught that morning. So I was picking a lot of things. So we still have it. And now the grandchildren, they'll open it and they'll read different things. But I bought a new one for them. And we're working on it with the grandchildren. But my responsibility was Jennifer and Benjamin. And I would read to them the Word. And it is the most incredible thing happened to us. One morning, they were getting ready, and I said, hurry up. We need to sit at Jesus' feet. And I had never said that before. And I was thinking, yeah, that's what we do. So they hurried up. We went to the sofa, and we sat down. And we were in our living room. We read the Word, and we prayed together. I walked them to school. When I came back, this happened to me. I walked into the living room and I felt the Lord say, I am still here. I felt His presence there. It's not like you open the Word and just read words. He's speaking to you. And I have felt, I'm not saying that I feel that presence every day, but there are times where I know when I open to read the Word, He is there. Because it's His Word. And He has promised. And Mary didn't want to miss it. And I just love that. I love that. And I am a Martha. I do worry about so many things. And I have a husband who sometimes I'll be so worried about something. And he'll start making, like, singing a song or doing something. And, you know, I'm like, this is not funny. Stop. And he tries to lighten the load, you know, and I believe the Lord has put us together for that because I can be very serious, but he can be very serious about things. And I want to sing to him sometimes when he's worried about some things, but, you know, and he does lighten the load. But at the same time, I can't wait to go sit at his feet and take the Word of God and just open it and say, Lord, I need you. I need you right now for this situation, for that situation. And that's what I don't want to miss. I don't want to miss it. I want us to really get the seriousness of going to the feet of Jesus in the mornings or at nights, during the day. I don't know where your place is, but you need a place. You know, don't be one of those that says, well, I pull a verse every morning, and that's what I stand with. No, get in the Word. Read around it. Don't just get one verse. But, of course, there are verses that are going to be there speaking to you at times that you need it. But in the Word of God, so many times we read how His Word went forth and accomplished what God had said it's going to do. There's power in the Word. There's power in the Word. And so I know that I could have missed so many things in Israel because I was so busy with taking care of the sheep. But I was so thankful. One time even, I would take the Word and I would go sit outside because they had these benches now on Mount of Olives outside our hotel where you could sit. So many tourists coming and going, and I would just block it out. We have to take every thought captive and block out crowds around us. And I was reading the Word and I was just thanking the Lord, and I felt someone sit on the bench. And I knew there was somebody there. And I, you know, I said good morning. And we had a whole Ethiopian group in our hotel. In fact, 220 of them. So you can just imagine. And it was just a big thing going on in our hotel with this big group. Anyways, it was one of them. And so I said good morning to her. And she was like so eager to talk. So, of course, I started talking to her, and then I turned to the Word, and I started sharing what I was reading, and she started listening, and I saw a little cross on her, and I thought, okay, you know, and it gave me more courage to talk to her about the Lord, but ended up praying with her, and now she's inviting me. A few days ago, she wrote me, she wants me to go to Ethiopia and stay in her house, and I asked one of my grandchildren, I said, where is Ethiopia? And they said, Miss Mama, it's in Africa. And I was like, okay, you know, that's not too far, but, you know, we'll just put it to the Lord. But sometimes distractions will come. But sometimes it's okay, because when Jesus was sitting at the well, He knew what was coming. He did it on purpose. He could have gone into Samaria and preached to the people, but He waited there for one woman. And then the Lord sent that one woman into Samaria. And then the crowds came and they said, now we believe, not because of all you told us, but we have seen Him for ourselves. So God has different ways, but find a place, get the Word, sit at his feet and then listen to his words. Listen. And not just, Jesus said, don't be just hearers, but also doers of the word. Doers of the word. And so I want to go to chapter 15 of John. I want to close up with this. What does it mean to sit at his feet and listen to his words? And John 15, chapter 4, is the best example. He said, abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. If you are trying to do things on your own, it's not going to work. You need to abide in him. You need to stay in the vine. You are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is cast out as a branch and is withered. And they gather them and throw them into the fire and they are burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire and shall be done for you. What a beautiful place to be, abiding in him. And I believe most of us here are the children of the Lord. We know him as our Father. We have accepted Jesus as our Savior. But I want to also give opportunity right now. If there's anyone here that has never known the Lord as your Savior and Lord, because I don't want this Mother's Day to pass for you not to know him, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit that abides in us. He is the one that reminds us to abide in the Father, in the words of Jesus. And so I want to ask you, if there's anyone right now that says, pray for me. I have never known the Lord as my Savior. And I want to give you an opportunity right now to raise your hand and I will pray for you. If there's anyone here, one or two people that have never accepted the Lord as your Savior, and I will pray for you. And you can even pray from your hearts to the Lord right now. Confess that he is Lord of your life. Confess that, Lord, I need you. That is what it is. You come to the point where, okay, Lord, I can't do this on my own. I just want to have you pray for me. I see that hand. Is there anyone else? Anyone else that I'm going to pray right now? Because I don't want to pass this opportunity. So let's go to the Lord. Lord, we thank you. You are the one that's calling us. You are the one that's saying, come unto me, all you that are weary and heavy burdened. Lord, we come to you. We are burdened about many things. We are heavy laden about many things. But you said, Lord, you will give us rest. You will give us rest. That rest that comes only from you. The peace that you will give. The peace that comes only from you. Lord, we want to sit at your feet like Mary. We want to choose the better that will never be taken away from us. I pray for everyone right now that's opening up their hearts to you for the first time, that you will come and change their lives, Lord. Fill them with yourself. Fill them with your love. We believe that you died on the cross. We believe that you are the one that will give us eternal life when we believe in you. And then I pray for every woman in this place that, yes, Lord, we want the better for our children. We want the better for others. But right now, we're going to want the better for us. And that is to sit at your feet, hear your words, and obey. And obey, Lord, with all our heart. We praise you, Lord, and we pray this in Jesus, your name. Amen. Have a wonderful Mother's Day, and be blessed today wherever you are, and may the Lord bless you. There will be prayer at the altar for anyone that needs prayer this morning. The altars are open.